Well, many of you probably know that Pastor Tim and Bridget have just been eagerly awaiting their new arrival, and she is in labor. As far as we know,
her water broke early this morning, and so, yes, they're about to welcome in the newest member of their family. And Tricia Cook has been graciously awaiting the call that she might need to come and pastor us for a Sunday. So let's give her a Quarry Rock welcome to Tricia Cook.
Thank you. Yes, it is an exciting day. So thank you for inviting me to be here today with my brothers and sisters here in Christ. My name is Tricia Cook. And first and foremost, I am a child of God. And I have the privilege and honor to serve as a pastor, as a guest pastor in this case, but also a realtor, a wife, a mother of a blended family, and a dog mom to a crazy collie named Bodie. So for those who have collies, I salute you. They have a ton of energy. But while we are done having children, your pastors are taking the command of being fruitful and multiply seriously, right? So let's pray for them, but also encourage them. Bring them a meal because they're going to have their hands full with three kiddos and transitioning that, or just offer them prayers and encouragement as they're going through this because it's an exciting time in their life as well. Again, like I said, it is a privilege to be here with you today. Pastor Tim and I actually were on staff together when we were at Celebrate Church. We were at the Meadows location, and I had the privilege of watching this man take on a responsibility that was typically given to men twice his age. And yet he took it with such grace and empowered by the Holy Spirit that I'm excited to see that he is continuing to just love God and love others and teach others to do the same. So you have a privilege of having Pastor Tim lead you here. I understand that you were in a series earlier called Valleys, and if you didn't get a chance to watch that, I'd encourage you to go and watch that too. But what my hope today is we're starting the Advent season, and today we're talking about hope, and I'd love to blend those two things together. Valleys and hope, if you'll allow me to do that today. If we could open our Bibles, we're going to be in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 40, focusing on the verses 1 through 11. And while you're there, did you know that we all have something in common here today? Right now, right where we're sitting, we're actually in the Big Sioux River Valley. Do you know? Okay, I did hear. I wasn't expecting a cheer because oftentimes we don't cheer when we think of valleys, do we? Oftentimes it's more of, we're thinking of it as in the depths of despair. And what's interesting is even the National Geographic calls valleys a depressed area. So we're kind of starting off on a light note, aren't we? But stick with me because by the end, my hope is that we will see valleys through a new lens. And we're going to start here with Isaiah. And it's actually in my Bible, but maybe in your Bible as well. The title was saying Words of Hope. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11 starts, "Comfort my people, says our God. Comfort them. Encourage the people of Jerusalem and tell them they have suffered long enough and their sins are now forgiven. I have punished them in full for their sins, and a voice cries out, prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain, the rough country will be made smooth, and then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. The Lord himself promised this, and a voice cries out, proclaim a message. What message shall I proclaim, I ask? Proclaim that all human beings are like grass. They last no longer than wild flowers. Grass withers and flowers fade. When the Lord sends the wind blowing over them, people are no more enduring than grass. Yes, grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Jerusalem, go up on a high mountain, proclaim the good news, call out with a loud voice, Zion, announce the good news, speak out and do not be afraid, tell the towns in Judah that their God is coming. The sovereign Lord is coming to rule with power, bringing with him the people he has rescued. He will take care of his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs together and carry them in his arms. He will gently lead their mothers. Let us pray. God, we pray it right now. And today, very well, Tim and Bridget may be holding their own baby in their arms, and yet you love us so deeply. You crave that intimate relationship with us as well. God, I pray in this moment that we can release anything that we came in here that is preventing us to hear what you want us to hear. Speak to our hearts, God. Work in and through your word. And we lift this time up to you. Amen. Well, maybe you've had a hard week. I know our family got some news this week that we weren't expecting. Maybe you had a hard year. I know I had coffee with a friend a couple weeks ago, and they were ready to have 2025 over. I don't know if anyone else is with me on that. But that doesn't start off that way, does it? Oftentimes we start fresh, we have high hopes, and we're excited, and we can't wait to start the new year. And yet, maybe things just don't go like we planned. Maybe we get off track, or it feels like it got railroaded, and so instead of like going up the hill, we literally feel like we're just chugging through the mud, or the darkness, or the hopelessness, or valley. And I do want you to know that you're not alone in that. Pastor Tim and his foresight actually asked me back in July if I would be prepared to be here. So talk about a man who's prepared. I got 6 months to work on this, but it felt like. But what was beautiful is just having conversations with neighbors, with friends, with groups of people about the concept of valley and hope. That what you're getting here today doesn't just come from me. It comes from a host of people like yourselves that have been through things. Because there's a good chance that the person sitting next to you in this space is going through a valley of their own. If not now, they have or will be. Maybe I could just throw some things off, because where can I start? Cancer diagnosis, job loss, rending of family relationships, maybe arrested, going to jail, financial pressures, marriage challenges, wayward kids, menopause, self-doubt, anything that feels like you're not in control like you thought you were. Or maybe you're just treading water. Or maybe you got the wind knocked out of you and knocked off your feet and you're lying on your back. And when I was thinking through that, as far as that posture, it actually reminded me of a song that was literally at every single dance when I was growing up. And just to lighten things up here a little bit, I'm going to see if you can guess what this song is, but I'm just going to play the first maybe few seconds of it. If we can cue it up and see if we can play it and see if you can guess. Anyone know? Fishing in the Dark, yes! Thank you, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Absolutely. But maybe they got something there. Maybe they legit got something there. When you're lying on your back, looking at the stars where the green grass grows, where are you looking? You're looking up. You have an option. You can look at your feet, because that's when you're in a valley, that's as far down as you can go. But what if when we feel like we're getting our feet knocked underneath us, what does it look like to look up? And I want us to think about that position. And at the same time, I do want you to know that I'm not belittling valleys, because they are raw, they are real, and they hit you when they least expect it sometimes. And yet, in our scriptures, it says, I lift my eyes up to the Lord. Where does my help come from? It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And if you drive through this earth, you will see valleys. And did you know geographically that valleys are formed actually one of three ways? One is through a river. It's just erosion slowly over time. Another way is a glacier. It just takes this big ice glacier coming through and it chisels and it carves its way through the space. The third way is a tectonic shift that literally pulls things apart in a rift. We experience that in real life too. What is your valley? That is my ask this morning, is think of your valley. Maybe it started a long time ago and it's slowly been eroding. Maybe your hope, your joy, maybe you've prayed earnestly for something and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it was a little bit more pointed experience and a sharper pronounced where there were things that were happening out of your control and yet they chiseled and carved away at you in the process. Or maybe it was more of a cataclysmic event where one day things seemed normal, but you know you can pinpoint one day when things radically changed. Whatever valley you're experiencing, I'm excited for you. And before you think I'm like a callous masochist, please just stick with me on this here too. Because just like the nitty-gritty dirt band, God goes fishing in the dark. He goes fishing in the dark. That's where he found me, in the midst of divorce, in the darkness that surrounds that. I can pinpoint a day where I got information that literally changed the trajectory of my life. And yet it was such a beautiful time where the church wrapped around me. And I felt so close to God in that experience. And I'm here today because of that prompting and that love. Serving others. It happened to a friend. God went fishing in the dark and found my friend Michael in the darkness of drugs and drinking. He was literally on his way to harm some people in his life. And he ended up in a parking lot at a church that happened to have Celebrate Recovery going on that night. And someone came out seeing that he had parked kind of wonky and asked if he was okay. And that relationship started a trajectory for him that you could call him Pastor Michael today. That same God found your Pastor Tim in the darkness in the sudden death of his father. And I know Pastor Tim started off this Valley series specifically mentioning that. And yet God is so very intimately comforting and present in that space. God's presence is in the valley, in that darkness with us. He fishes in the dark. I hope you never think of that psalm the same way again. But think of, what did our scripture say? Our scripture said, a voice cries out. We need that sometimes, don't we? When we're in the darkness, we really can't see other than just the circumstances that are right in front of us. We need that voice of others, the voice of God, to pull us out of that darkness and see something that he sees, that others see. It says, prepare in the wilderness, in the midst of the darkness, a road for the Lord. Clear a way in the desert for our God. I have a picture here, and this is actually of Death Valley. And oftentimes, I think this is what we think of, isn't it, when we think of valleys? That they're barren, that we're alone, that it's just dry and hopeless. And yet the scripture says that fill every valley, level every mountain, the hills will become a plain, the rough country will be made smooth, and then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. May I offer another perspective of a valley? I have another picture here for you. This is a lush valley in Nepal. What if a valley was a place of provision? What if a valley was a place of protection? What if a valley offered a natural path to follow for the way out? Because where, in this case, in the river valley, where do rivers often flow to? Like an ocean or a lake the flowing, living water. That's the perspective that we can think through today. Because in our scriptures, it says the message that cried out in the wilderness, it was meant to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what a valley seems to do, doesn't it? I shared we had some news this week that we weren't expecting. I said we're in a blended family. And I would say our son, but it's my husband's biological son, got the news that he has leukemia. And so he was flown down, and he's in Houston right now with my husband. And yet, it is beautiful to see how people wrap around in certain circumstances. And it's difficult to accept, isn't it? That we had neighbors come over and take the snow out of our driveway. And I had someone come and walk my dog, which that's a feat in itself. He has so much energy. And yet, it's hard to accept that. When we're in those valleys, so to speak, we think we can handle it. We think we can control. I guess I wasn't expecting to get that emotional. I apologize. And yet, we need that to show others that we can't go through this alone. We need God. We need the church. And we need the people in our lives. Our scriptures continue that proclaim to all human beings that we're like grass. We're only on this earth for a short period of time, aren't we? Love the people that are around you. We last no longer than wildflowers. Grass withers and flowers fade. And when the Lord sends the wind blowing over them, people are no more enduring than grass. Grass withers and flowers fade. But the word of our Lord endures forever. The word of our Lord endures forever. The word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. That is the hope that we have, folks. Because if we fast forward to the New Testament, Peter makes this beautiful and wonderful correlation between what the scripture we just read here today. He calls for that love among the church, and it says in 1 Peter 1:22, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." And then he uses this passage that we read from Isaiah 40, and he says why we should love one another is, "For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." And then he uses what we just read. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade. And then here it is again. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is a beautiful connection, folks. The Bible is a love story from beginning to end. The Old Testament speaking towards the New Testament in Jesus. That eternal fruit-bearing seed that's in us, we do have that obligation, but that ability now to love. And in this last word, or this last verse that we read, Jesus, he will take care of his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs together. He'll carry them in his arms, and he will gently lead their mothers. I have to show you something that it's just a beautiful picture of what I imagine it would look like, right? And then that lamb, he looks so confident and safe. He's in the gentle arms of the shepherd. Maybe just like Bridget and Tim will be holding their little one here shortly. That's a little bit different than a piggyback ride, isn't it? It's intimate. It's close. Folks, when we're holding things at our arm's length, when we're trying to take care of everything ourselves, we're not allowing God to be in that. He's there already. He's already gone fishing in the dark. He's in our presence. But just having that humility of surrender and just looking up and saying, "God, I need you." Right? think we're more like this second picture, though. I know I am, because this is more like we're in God's arms, right? But we're like kicking and screaming, trying to go a different direction and thinking, I got this. I can handle it. I want something over this direction. And God's like, no, just settle in, snuggle in. I got you in the calm and in the chaos. He has you. And that is the one thing I want to leave with us today. Because the truth is, we're all going to be a valley. We're going to be in a valley sometime in our life. Whether we see it coming or it's just going to hit us. The Bible tells us we're going to have trials of many kinds, and yet regardless of the situation, God has us. He's going to comfort us with the hope of Jesus in the chaos and in the calm. Amen? Amen. Amen.